Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests. Proven in all 50 states, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
What's happening in San Diego, and welcome to it. Finally, a Friday edition of Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down in Peoria, of course, with the Padres. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Not quite a full 4 hours today. Got about 3.5 for you because around 5:30 this afternoon, we'll be sending it down to Peoria, where Tony and Jesse will have the call of tonight's exhibition baseball game. Can we still call it exhibition baseball? They don't like that word because it makes it sound like it's not real, but it's actually an excellent description of what's going on.
It isn't real.
It's not real, right? Yeah. I think they like preseason better. They seem to like spring training or preseason better, but whatever the case, it's the Padres and the Mariners coming up a little later tonight. Tony, how are you there in Peoria? How have things been treating you?
Treating me well. Got to sleep good in a little bit today. That was
Yes, a night game, yeah. That helps.
Yeah, and so heading to the field here shortly. Mike Shield speaks in about an hour from now. So,
oh, good. Got to hear from the Mike Shield.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So looking forward to it. Looking forward to a first night game. Sounded like yesterday talking to Mike that most, if not all, of the regulars will be in there, including Toddy. So, get a chance to see what an idea of what the lineup may look like with everybody in it. I don't think we've had a lineup with, I want to say, Bogey and Jackson have been paired together, while, you know, I think Machado and he's been with somebody each game too. I can't remember who it is right now, but
they're basically been using two or three guys a game,
right?
Yeah,
right. And so we get a chance to see where Mike's mind is on where Jackson hits. We talked a little bit about this, I think, last week, whether, you know, he either is going to hit, you can see him hitting second, but if Toddy's hitting second, then where does he fit in the lineup? You assume Luis is going to lead off. You assume Manny's going to be, I would assume, three. So two, does Jackson slide back down to five? Where's Bogarts and all? It's going to be interesting from that standpoint today.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. I mean, you talk about that, and we get the lineup hopefully a little late. I don't know. Did they even release spring training lineups before the game starts?
Yeah,
so maybe we'll get a lineup a little later on. But You know, I think you're right. The Padre lineup is something that needs to be discussed here a little bit. I mean, because we're getting, you know, we're a couple of weeks into spring training. And you talk about, you know, Arise makes sense in the leadoff spot. Just that's where he was. Fernando, they love to have him hit second. Whether you agree out there with it or not, it doesn't really matter because that's what Mike Schilt seems to like to do. Manny, I think, is your number three hitter. To me, Bogarts and Jackson Merrill and Jake Cronenworth are all 5, 6, 7. I don't. What I mean by that is I don't see a number four there. Like who's your number four guy? And I mean that's your cleanup hitter. Is it the most important spot in the lineup? I don't know. But one of those guys, right, has to be the cleanup hitter. So who's it going to be? I mean that's kind of the question I have. You move Tatis down to four, ask Manny to slide back to four, which I don't think he'd want to do. Somebody's got to hit cleanup.
Yeah, that could be one of the options, right? You slide Jackson in the two spot,
right?
Toddy slides down to the cleanup spot. I don't know that I consider Toddy a cleanup hitter, but for sake of this lineup, you like him there. I mean, I guess Manny could clean up too, but you kind of want him to get as many ABs as possible. Same with Toddy, right?
I know. If you slide him to fourth, people are going to say, well, you might miss out on a couple of at-bats for Fernando if you bat him fourth. But is he not a cleanup hitter? I mean, he did lead the league in home runs a couple of years ago. That's the definition of a cleanup hitter in a lot of ways. So I think it is going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. I mean, I don't think you're going to put Jackson Merrill fourth. It sounds like he could do that. But now you're putting even a little more pressure on him that, you know, it's his second year. I get that. But I don't know if you want him batting cleanup. Bogarts, I don't think, has been productive enough to bat cleanup until he, you know, proves otherwise. I don't think Jake's a cleanup guy. So that's the interesting thing right now. Who would you bat cleanup out there? You know?
It certainly seems like if those are the options, I know Gurriel's hit cleanup a couple times, but I don't know that he would be considered a cleanup hitter.
Not at this point, no.
Right. And so, you know, this is one of the – I think this is why today is a little bit, I don't know, exciting from some standpoint that we kind of get a peek into what
– little peek, yeah.
The staff is what thinking about at currently on the last day of February.
Of course, I think I just came up with a solution while you were talking, Tony. Luis Camposano is going to be on the All-Star team. You might as well just put him fourth right now.
You did say that, so I mean, it's going to be true.
Might as well just put him clean up now and just start reaping the benefits. Why is Scrappy? And you know what? Here's the thing. Because I said that I think Luis Camposano will be on the All-Star team, I can guarantee you right now, Tony, that Matt Scrappy, deep inside, he is rooting against Luis Camposano in every single way. He doesn't ever want him to play.
Just so you can be wrong.
So I'll be wrong. Yeah, he doesn't. You don't care. You hope Luis Camposano doesn't even make the team.
You don't know anything about me, Chris.
I know everything about you.
I know that I do not feel this way.
True.
I do not feel this way about this.
1,000% true.
I actually, you know, I draw the line with my hatred at the actual team suffering.
I draw
my line.
You know that on March 28th, Tony, when we come on the air after game one, and Camposano, if he starts and goes 0-3, Scrave is going to be like, that's terrible, 0-3. You sure he's going to be on the All-Star team?
I actually want you to be right, because this prediction is so out there that it will be great when it happens. I actually do want it to happen.
You don't want me to be right. You know that. But anyway, we'll see. It's going to happen. Here's the other question while we're kicking around this lineup tonight. And, you know, the night preseason game and, you know, whether it looks something like it might on opening day. Who's winning in left field? And does it matter who's winning in left field? I mean, my point being, is Jason Hayward your starting left fielder against a right-handed pitcher, regardless of what happens in spring training? Or is there really a true competition with Eggy Rosario and Oscar Gonzalez and Termo, you know,
Tirso.
Tirso Ornelas. I'm sorry, Tirso.
Yeah.
I can't.
I know. I don't have his name in front of me right now. So it happens.
Tirmo.
Yeah, Tirmo, Tirso.
All right, I'll let it go.
Here's the thing. Is there really a competition? And if so, who's winning that competition, Tony?
I think there is a competition. I don't know anybody's winning right now. I mean,
Forrest Wall, I should put him in there. He's got a couple of home runs.
He has to be put in.
Yeah, right.
Tirso has to be in.
Yeah.
There. I mean, Eggie's got to be in there. Oscar Gonzalez. Yeah, Oscar Gonzalez has to be in there.
Right.
So I don't know that anybody's winning. That was the first week of games. We just are finishing. Today will be a full week. I think the competition really starts to crack off now. First week of March, our first day of March, these guys are going to, you know, start getting more ABs, longer days to stay in the
play
game.
Play a little longer in the game, yeah.
And I think Mike Shields said as much before the first game last Friday, which was, you know, these early games, you kind of give everybody some grace to kind of get their feet. Now we're a week in, so now I think competition starts to pop up a little bit. Maybe the last two games competition, they've been taking tally at this point. I think the first four or five games, while everybody was getting their feet wet for the first time, remember, because they're only playing three, guys are playing a game, off, playing a game. So, you know, four games in, they've played two. That's not really something you can start to evaluate. Now, a guy like Oscar Gonzalez, he played in pretty much all of them. So, clearly, they're evaluating him. He's got to start from he's starting from a little bit further out, right?
He might have a little advantage that we don't really think too much about, because I know Victor Rodriguez, who was his hitting coach in Cleveland, was talking about this guy and saying, you guys don't understand just how good he was in 2022 when he basically took over right field that year for Cleveland, took over that position and, you know, helped lead them to the postseason, and then was kind of their best hitter in the postseason. Victor, you know, has that pretty fresh in his mind. So it'll be interesting to see how that factors in as well.
Everybody has their advantages, right? Connor Joe's got his advantage. Jason Hayward certainly has his advantages. Someone like Oscar Gonzalez, who was underneath Victor, has his advantage. It's a personal connection. So I would say the competition really has started the last couple of days, and I don't know if anybody's in the lead right now.
Yeah, and we haven't mentioned Gavin Sheets, who's had a couple of good performances as well. And let's be honest, we are only a week into, you know, the spring, but this is what we want, Tony. We want Oscar Gonzalez to put a little pressure on. Gavin Sheets. We want Forrest Wall. We want, you know, whoever you can name, Tirso Ornelas. Whoever it is, you want them all to put pressure on getting this spot, because that's going to make it a tougher decision. You don't want just one guy to have a big spring and everybody else to fall off.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm sure for the individuals in the actual fight, they would love for everybody to fall off while they are out there balling. It makes the decision quite easy.
Yeah.
But that is not what the Padres want. They want options. And right now, you know, there's a lot of guys swinging the bat well, playing well.
Yeah, it's been a good start for the left field candidates, if nothing else, here in spring training. We'll find out a whole lot more about that when the Padres and Mariners hook up this evening. Tony is going to head out, at least for the time being. He's going to head over. Mike Shildt is speaking ahead of tonight's game. So Tony will head there, but we'll have him back on the show for plenty of stuff moving forward. Our Big Five a little bit later on. We got our countdown today. It's a Friday. We got Chris versus the fans. We got a Daily Gambit. We got to check in on the Aztec basketball team. And, of course, tomorrow night, We go soccer crazy again. SDFC plays its first home match tomorrow.
I can't with this, Chris. I can't. You were like...
Who is this guy, right?
I have no words for it.
I'm actually trying to figure out a way I can watch the game tomorrow night. Is it going to be on again?
Well, you're going to have to pay. That's what's going to happen.
That could be a stopping point right there.
That might be the plug.
That might be the great equalizer when it comes from me watching the match if it's not actually on free television. But we'll talk about that as well. It's all coming up, a Friday edition. Glad you're with us, Gwen and Chris. All three of us getting it rolling here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, welcome back. Gwen and Chris underway for a Friday weekend edition type deal. It's finally a Friday. Scraby, such a hurry to get out of here. He's leaving early today.
I am.
He made up something that he's got to go to. I don't even know if it's real. Real thing.
It's real because I just got the script today.
You're like hosting this massive event that you agreed to do, not realizing the scope of this event.
I knew it was going to be big, and I'm happy to do it, but yeah. I don't know why they asked me. It's where the confusion for me
comes
in.
Because you're a radio voice, and you're very
I'm really excited.
You're a celebrity. You're going out to help out the young people at the Rancho Penasquitos Little League.
Yes.
I think that's very kind of you.
I think it's very good of you to
go out there.
You know, one of the things that I loved doing as a kid, like really young, was the first day of baseball parade. It was the best thing because you knew right after that you either go play games.
I like the opening day parade.
Why?
Uniform was way too clean. You know, hadn't been broken in yet.
You could go and dive in the dirt if you wanted to.
Yeah, but, you know, you didn't do that. It was all starched out and stiff as a board. You're trying to walk around in your uniform and you can't straighten your arms. And then, like you said, you got to get there at 9 o'clock for the parade of teams.
Not in this case.
And then your game is like at 1. You got to stay in your uniform for 4 hours.
I would stay in my uniform all day.
Quite uncomfortable opening day. Even though I was in Little League, I was very much like Tony's dad. Opening day was, for all of the pomp and circumstance, get me to game 2 where it's just focused on baseball.
If this doesn't explain a lot about Chris, then I don't know what is.
I already knew that I didn't like opening day, even when I was nine.
You're like, oh, all you people are the fake fans.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the diehards come out in the Wednesday night game. But everybody, grandparents, cousins, aunts, uncles you never even met before,
yeah,
come out to opening day. Oh, you look so cute in your starch-filled white uniform. Ugh.
I don't remember my uniform being so uncomfortable. I think maybe we had different material.
You did not have the material I wore back in the day. We used to
burlap
wear these
sacks.
Yeah, right. We used to wear these gray things that were like the jersey weighed 50 pounds.
I can totally imagine these jerseys right now.
Yeah, it wasn't the light, airy material you're thinking
of. No, it is thick and heavy.
Yes, it was. And mine was gray, and in red letters it said Indians.
Okay.
I did not get, like the kids do now,
a
real Major League jersey to wear.
Hat.
I got a gray uniform that said Indians, and on the hat there was an I on it for Indians.
Oh, that's
that
messed
was pretty
up.
Much it.
I guess they didn't have the licensing for Little League yet.
They didn't have the licensing for Little League in those days to get me an actual Cleveland Indians hat. And by the way, with all due respect to all of our Native Americans out there, it is the reason that I still don't like the name Guardians.
Why?
Because I played for the Indians in Little League, and the quote, Indians no longer really exist.
So, I mean,
I have my own personal,
I can get you a Little League Guardians jersey if that makes
you feel
better.
No such thing as a Guardians jersey, and there never should be.
You know, when I was little, we used to get the hats, and it was always the snap hat. And I didn't like snap hats because I had to be cool, Chris, and I had to get the pro fit.
Actually, if I'm not mistaken, Scraby.
What?
Because you were at my my last, the big birthday shindig.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure you've seen a picture of me in my Little League uniform.
That's the one I'm picturing.
That's the one. Here it is right here.
Just put it up on the camera. It's Chris, a nine-year-old.
It actually says BH on the hat, which surprised me. I thought it said I. Can everybody see it?
I think so. Yeah.
So you can see the gray jersey.
Yep.
And you can't see where it said Indians there, but that was my Little League picture. Somebody dug that up last year for a birthday party.
It was great.
Anyway. All right. Tomorrow night, I know what you're doing.
What's that?
You're going to the match. You're going to be there.
It's the historic home opener. I forgot you were such a...
I'm a soccer-crazed...
up-to-date soccer-crazed fan.
I'm a soccer-crazed fan. Snapdragon Stadium, San Diego, California, hosting MLS for the first time ever. The 30th franchise in the 30th season of MLS makes its home debut. And San Diego FC could not be debuting under any better circumstances, right? Having knocked off the Galaxy last week on the road, the defending champs, 2-0, and now they come home. 7:30 tomorrow night, they're expecting a sellout crowd. It holds 35,000.
Wow.
Snapdragon Stadium. Will they be able to shoehorn a few more in?
Probably.
We'll see.
Probably.
Kirk Kenny had the article today in the UT. Our guy, Kirk, he's on it. And he says, going to be a sellout. Probably going to be an all-time record-breaking crowd. Right now, do you know what the largest crowd ever is for an event at Snapdragon Stadium?
Is it a concert?
Take a guess. No. It's a sporting event, but it's not an Aztec football game,
unfortunately. Is it NWSL?
Nope, it was the Manchester United friendly against Wrexham.
What?
I know. I don't get why people go to friendlies. I don't understand friendly. Go back again to my whole thing about opening day in Little League. If you're going to show up and play, there should be something at stake.
Yeah, I agree.
What is this friendly stuff?
It's like
you soccer fans will have to explain the friendly to me. I know it's there. I know it's a big deal. I know 70,000 people will go see a match that means nothing. Like, I don't get it, but maybe you soccer people can explain the friendly to me. Tomorrow night, it's not a friendly, though. This is a big time, no holds barred matchup between St. Louis City SC And San Diego FC, 7:30 start, sellout crowd expected. Scraby will be among them.
Yeah.
And
Manny Machado is going to be there.
I know Craig Elson's going to, you know, Craig Elson, I believe, is probably.
I think he's in the fan section, if I'm not mistaken.
He might be in the fan section. Yeah, he's excited. Everybody should be excited. They won the opener. Let's see how it goes tomorrow night. You're going to have a sellout crowd. You want to keep the momentum going. The only problem for me, how do I watch the match?
We've already been over this.
I'm trying to go over it again. I want to see if somebody out there, other than stealing the video from some offshore website, is there a way that I can watch the match? I MLS season pass, that cost like $80. Sorry, I don't mean to be cheap, but I don't need the season pass. Why? Because I'm never going to watch the Orlando City Nashville game, right?
Yeah,
I want.
Yeah.
If I was going to pay for something, I would pay for the San Diego FC games only, right? If you could put together a package like that, then I'd be more than willing to purchase it so I could watch my team play.
Yep.
But I don't have enough interest to see Charlotte take on DC United.
Well,
right?
You don't know that because you're a soccer guy.
I do know that I don't have that much interest. So, you know, can I watch the match tomorrow night? Is it on anywhere? And as far as I can tell, it's not. Like Apple TV Plus, which I have, but I don't have the MLS season pass, nor am I going to purchase it. So, you know, that frustrates me. It's a historic occasion. And I understand a lot of people say, well, then go to the mat. You should be there. Okay, but not all of us can make it.
I would like to say.
So I'd like to watch it. I guarantee I'm not the only one that would be curious enough to tune in tomorrow night to see the first ever, you know, MLS match in San Diego. I think it stinks that we can't get it on TV somewhere.
I would like to say, too, I appreciate everybody who keeps telling us about T-Mobile. We don't have T-Mobile.
Okay, so if you have T-Mobile, you get the free.
You get it for free,
right,
apparently,
well, yeah,
before March 4th.
Sorry, I'm not going to win any awards here, and I'm not going to be a T-Mobile sports spokesman ever.
You don't
Never
know
really been a fan of T-Mobile.
You've had T-Mobile?
Yeah.
Really?
Didn't work too well for me.
Oh.
There goes my chance of ever being a T-Mobile spokesperson.
You know, T-Mobile, okay. I am willing to be your spokesperson.
You'll be willing to be,
Please come on over my way.
Yeah. All right, so if you have T-Mobile or if you've paid for the MLS pass, I get it, but I have neither of those things. And this is history in San Diego in the making.
Hold on. Charlie Hoffman is teeing off right now at the Cognizant Classic. Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Charlie, I'm not sure if
I shouldn't have said, hold on.
Charlie's at
I'm
the.
I'm sorry, Charlie. I did that to you.
He's in 10th place, but not for long.
He shanked it.
He just hit the ball into somebody's house, which looked like one of my shots.
That may have been the worst time for me to ever bring up somebody.
I got to tell you, that might be the worst shot Charlie Hoffman has ever hit. Like, next time we have him on, we got to go, Charlie. Take us to your team. Even he's laughing.
He is because it was that bad of a shot.
It was that bad. He's laughing.
He's safe, though. He's still in the grass, but he shanked it over the water.
It was
and the
bad.
Group is laughing at him.
Yeah, he hit it into somebody's front yard.
I'm sorry.
You interrupted me, but that's okay.
I thought that was going to be worth it.
Charlie's worthwhile. So is SDFC. We'll talk. You know, we're excited about it. You know, but again, I'd like to see it.
I have some suggestions from the chat on this whole viewing thing.
Are any of them legal?
Yes. Eric says you can purchase for $12.99 a month subscription to try it out. So you could probably cancel after the first month if you're like, hey, I don't like this.
But that's $12.99 that's gone.
Yeah, you have to pay $12.99.
Okay.
Someone also said cancel your ESPN Plus and use that money towards SDFC. That's not a bad idea.
Yes, but then who's going to read you all those fine stories on the air?
You can get T-Mobile internet. You don't need to get T-Mobile phone.
Okay.
So there we go.
But they shouldn't make it that difficult. This is a major professional sports league.
I'm with you. I
to
said
me,
this.
There should be access to my home team.
I said
easy
this.
Access to my home team. If I want to watch Minnesota, then I get it. I should have to pay for that right. But my home page,
That I should have access to.
Matt also has a suggestion that you and Lori could go to like a bar and just drink some water, some soda, and watch the game.
We are water drinkers.
I mean, yeah. Well, that was at least funny he was respectful. Somebody... At least he was respectful enough to not to mention a beer,
right? Somebody was respectful enough. Okay, we'll figure it out. Anyway, excitement. We look forward to it. Hopefully, they can go to 2-0. I don't know if that's how you call your record, but a 2-0 would be a great start. We'll come back. More Gwynn and Chris. The Aztecs have a big one tomorrow. More on the Padres, who play the Mariners tonight right here on 97.3 The Fan. Stick around.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Around. All right, welcome back. There's the sounder for the starting lineup. Is that the starting lineup for tomorrow night's San Diego FC? Oh, no, you don't have that.
No, I don't have that.
No, but you do have the starting lineup for today's exhibition game.
Yes.
I call it exhibition game again.
It's a spring training game.
Spring training game. But it is just an exhibition, honestly. Records, throw them out the window. Padres do have a lineup for tonight, and as we discussed in the first segment, maybe tonight's lineup is a little hint to what we might, or at least what the Padres might be thinking at this point, a month ahead of opening day.
Correct.
So a week from, or a month from yesterday is opening day, March 27th.
Sure.
Well, today's February 28th. So.
I didn't know it was March 28th. I'm not good with dates. I'm just like, okay, next Thursday is opening day.
That and math.
Yes.
Not your strong points. So anyway, we discussed in the open with Tony and I and you who would bat cleanup this year. Who's going to bat cleanup this year? I mean, who? Because really, as we discussed, you'd have Arraez, Fernando, Manny. Probably the first three. That's what was the first three last year, was it?
Yes, but... Well,
I'm just saying last year,
gotcha.
Okay?
I'm sorry.
All right, don't jump ahead of me here. Give everything away.
Oh, my gosh.
No, you want to give it away.
I'm giddy.
Yeah, well, relax. All right, so Arraez, Tatis, Machado, first three, but who would bat cleanup if you do that? Because I don't think Jackson Merrill's cleanup. I don't think Jake is cleanup. I don't think Xander's cleanup. I think last year, actually, Manny was cleanup because you batted Profar third.
Profar let off a little bit, too?
No, but by the end of the season, it was Arraez, Fernando, and Profar with Manny fourth. Anyway, Manny is fourth tonight, so that is probably what's going to happen. But who's going to replace Profar at three? And our first hint to that is that Jackson Merrill is batting third tonight.
That is true.
All right, so you got Arraez, Tatis, Merrill. Then you got Machado hitting fourth tonight. Jake's hitting fifth. Xander sixth. Jason Hayward in left field, seventh. I mean, this sounds like the opening day lineup so far.
I'm great with one through six.
Well, Hayward's going to hit seventh on opening day. I'm telling you, he's going to win left field. He's going to at least start opening day in left field.
I'm not a fan of this.
I know you're not. You don't like him, and you don't think he's going to do well.
I just think that he might. He's not going to put the team over the top.
I didn't say he was, but, I mean, they're going to start with Jason Hayward. They got him to be the opening day left fielder.
I get that. I would much rather go with someone
Eggie
like Tirso or Eggie.
Eggie and Tirso and Forrest Wall and all these guys, they're going to get their chance if Jason Hayward / Connor Joe stumbles.
I have Matt Carpenter fears.
Well, then they'll figure it out soon enough if that's the problem.
They didn't let go of Matt Carpenter all year long.
They couldn't afford to. That was a different deal.
That's a good point. He's only making $1 million or so.
Hayward bats seventh. Yuli Gurriel is the DH hitting eighth. Now, in my preseason prognostication of the final 26-man roster, I had Gurriel in there.
Yes.
But, you know, it's possible Gavin Sheets is the DH. You know, any number of these guys. I mean, we keep talking about Oscar Gonzalez. I mean, he's, you know, making a strong impression a week in. But today, Gurriel hit eighth. And then the nine hitter, I don't think will be the same as this on opening day. But they got Martin Maldonado today. I think either Camposano or Diaz will be the opening day. But I think otherwise, that's a pretty close of what the opening day lineup would look like as of today.
Yeah.
Arraez, Tatis, Merrill, third. That's a big...
It's a big jump for him.
Well, it's putting a ton of faith. Now, don't forget, by the time the playoffs rolled around, he was batting fifth.
Yes, he was.
He had moved all the way up. They did everything they could to skirt temptation, and they left him 7-8 all year long. Mm-hmm. Even though everybody said, well, he should move up. And they said, no, let's just let him do his thing, 7 or 8, and just, you know, continue getting that production there. But once the playoffs came, he was batting fifth. They didn't wait any longer.
Yes.
But third is a whole nother big jump. Because third's...
pressure.
Well, I don't know that... It is in a sense. But here's the thing with batting third. Normally, your best hitter bats third. Just straight up. That's what it is. Normally, the guy you think is your best hitter bats third. Now, I think Fernando has more qualifications than Merrill to bat third, but as we said in the open, they don't like him third. They like him second. So there you go. Arraez, Tatis, Merrill, Machado, Cronenworth, Bogey, Hayward, Gurriel, Maldonado. That'll be the lineup tonight. I'm sure Jesse and Tony, once the broadcast start, will talk at length about what this lineup means.
Yes,
they will. As opposed to, you know, what it's going to look like a month from now.
I gotta hope that Jake Cronenworth picks it up this year too, because
it's a big deal.
It seems like he starts high in the lineup, or at least, you know, fifth or sixth, and then he ends up moving down to like seventh or eighth.
Well, what do you? Now, let me just ask you this: in fairness, what do you want Jake Cronenworth to pick it up to this year? Like, what do you want him to? What do you need him to pick up this year? I realize he had a cruddy year 2 years ago.
Yes.
Cruddy.
I'm on the record,
last year,
Chris,
Jake Cronenworth had a pretty good year.
I'm on the record saying that I think he is not getting enough credit for last year, but if you're going to keep him as a big part of your lineup and count him in every single day, I mean, he's got to be better than 241 and 241 batting average, 714 OPS. He's got to be better than that. Okay. He hit 17 home runs. That's fine. 83 RBIs. That's good. He had three triples. That's good. It's mostly the batting average and the power.
But nobody cares about batting average anymore.
Well, absolutely, I'm just saying batting average, because it's a way of saying he gets on base or not.
The fact of the matter is, if you're the five hitter, I don't want you to walk anyway. I want you driving in runs. And Cronenworth drove in 83 last year. That's five short of his career best. He was not bad last year. 17 home runs is four off his career best. Jake was pretty good last year. He's not better than a 250-60 hitter because he plays against lefties as well. And, you know, his splits are not great.
Fair. Fair. I would say 2021, if he could recreate that season, that's a perfect season
for him.
You'll
take that. You'll take 71 RBIs and 266 and an 800 OPS.
With 21 home runs and seven triples. Yes, if he could. I don't even need him to hit 21 home runs. I just need him to get on base and drive in some of the guys here and there.
I think and when you're talking about things that need to happen this year for this team to be successful, I think Jake Cronenworth, quote, bouncing back is far down the list. I mean, first guy you need to do something is Xander Bogaerts.
Yes,
you absolutely have to have him, no matter where he is in the lineup. They have him sixth tonight. You're going to need production in left field. You don't need Hall of Fame production. You're probably not going to get Jerks and Profar production, but you need something from Hayward, Connor Joe, or whoever it is that ends up with the bulk of playing time out there. Whether it's Gonzalez, whether it's Ornelas, whether it's Forrest Wall, whether it's Gavin Sheets. I mean, there's so many guys in the running. Eggy Rosario. There's like seven guys in the running for left field.
Here's my fear.
Here's the other thing. Not only is the winner of left field going to be playing a lot, but whoever comes in second is going to be playing a lot either, also because you need a DH.
Yep.
Those are much bigger question marks than Jake Cronenworth, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's take this lineup as it is opening day right now. My fear is, okay, 1-6, really good. Arise, Tatis, Merrill, Machado, Cronenworth, Bogaerts.
Why is it really good? You just said you're concerned about Cronenworth, agreed that we're concerned about Bogaerts. So what's really good about that?
Let me start over. First four, really, really good. Arise, Tatis, Merrill, Machado. Cronenworth, Bogaerts could be really good, but we'll just say they're going to be average. Then you got 7, 8, 9. Hayward, Gurriel, Maldonado. Those are automatic outs. Maldonado, statistically, almost is an automatic out.
Maldonado's not going to be on the team opening day. It's going to be Camposano or Elias Diaz, who are not automatic outs. And, you know, you've already shelved Gurriel, and you've totally given up on Jason Hayward. You don't think Jason Hayward's going to get a hit.
You're putting words in my mouth, but...
Well, you just said he was an automatic out. What is the other description of an automatic out?
You just said
automatic out.
That's fair.
I don't know how else to describe that.
Last year, he hit... let's see his last year with the total, with both teams. 211, 10 home runs, 37 RBI, 700 OPS.
This is not a perfect team. But when last year started... As a matter of fact, let me just go back... For a second. And don't ask me why my mind works the way it does. Yeah, that's your mind that we're worried about, not my mind.
That's the wrong one.
I'm not even going back that far. You don't have to turn back time. I'm going back to...
You said you were turning back time. I have to play the sounder that says it turned back time.
I'm going back to March 20th of 2024.
Okay.
Barely a year ago. That's opening day last year. Bogaerts batted leadoff. In Korea.
I don't even remember that.
Tatis hit second. Cronenworth hit third. Machado was fourth, which is where he ended up.
Mm-hmm.
Hassan Kim was fifth.
Talk
about putting an automatic out in the middle of the order. Profar hit sixth.
Wow.
They didn't expect much from him, no. Camposano was seventh. Tyler Wade, you're right, was in opening day. He batted eighth because Manny couldn't. DH.
And then Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Merrill was ninth in that opening game. So, you know, and I'm not going to go through every lineup the whole season, but you got to, it took a long time to get from that, which I just read you, to what they ended up using, right?
In the playoffs.
In the bulk of the season.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Right?
They'll make adjustments.
So the opening day lineup is totally a lot of fun to talk about, kick it around, get some ideas. But it doesn't stay that way, and I wouldn't expect it's going to stay that way this year. So
no, it's definitely going to change throughout the year. It has to.
The only thing that's not going to change, I guess, is Manny batting cleanup. I mean, that's been pretty much the thing for a while.
I do think it's very, very interesting that Jackson Merrill's now number three.
Well, he is today. Doesn't mean that opening day is number three.
I have a really hard time with remembering that the automated balls and strikes system isn't coming into this year, and also it's spring training. Everybody tells me it doesn't matter.
Wait, what about the balls and strikes? You're upset that it's not coming in this year?
No, I have to remember, because I feel like it's just already a part of the game, that it's just going to be a part of the season, but they're not going to have it during the season this year. They're going to try for next year. Yeah. I think they should just put it in this year.
Let's try it for, like, 2092.
Okay.
That'd be a good year to put it in.
2092.
When I don't have to watch baseball anymore by that time.
Why?
Because I don't care if a ball is 1 inch off the plate. I don't need it being challenged. It's just going to swing the bat. If you're that concerned, swing the bat.
Did you see Max
Honestly,
Scherzer the other
I'm
day?
Tired of it all. Yes, he went 0-2 and he hates it.
Wait, the second
Max,
pitch that he
I
challenged
say here.
Was way below the zone. And
we're going to get this all the time. That's the thing that bugs.
I think it's
we're
fine.
We're going to get it all the time.
I think it's fine.
We don't even know what the rules are of the challenges.
Yeah, we do.
We do? Of how many guys get the challenge?
Yes. The pitcher, the catcher, or the hitter gets the challenge.
Unlimited?
No, two challenges. If you lose your challenge, you
two
are out.
Two challenges, what, per team?
Per team, per game.
So pitcher, catcher is the same.
Pitcher, catcher is the same. Hitter is obviously different. If you lose the challenge, you lose your challenge. If you win it, you keep your challenge. And
if you win, you just then. If you win, you could have unlimited.
You could, yeah. If you keep winning,
conceivably,
yeah.
If you just win all day long.
True, you could.
And you've got, I mean, Angel Hernandez is behind the plate, and he's just messing up every call, and you challenge, and we just have to sit here all day while you're tapping your helmet.
See,
it's really
that's
that
an
important
interesting
to
question.
You.
Like, how many challenges can you do per inning?
You
I don't
just
know
said
if there
it was
is.
Unlimited?
Well, I don't know if there is, because there is, I'm going to have to look into that. Those are
stupid
things I have not read yet, and I have
stupid.
Read Jason Stark's article like 4 million times about it.
Stupid.
It's not stupid.
Not that important.
Okay, let's talk about this. A little bit of news came out when you were gone. The NFL is going to do electronic measuring now.
Fine.
But
it's the same, same thing that they do now. I mean,
No, they don't.
I'm fine.
The chain gang. Okay, so you're fine with electronic measuring, but you're not fine with an automated balls and strikes system.
I think the electronic measuring and the chain are about the same. It's just going to be quicker and less hassle.
I don't know what the electronic thing's going to do. It's not determining a spot. It's just going to tell you whether or not it's a first down. That seems worthless for me.
I have no problem with first downs. They get it right 99.9% of the time already, and they'll continue just as the home plate umpire gets it called right 99% of the time. And we don't need this challenge system. We just don't.
Can't wait till Chris comes on here during the year and be like, thank goodness for this challenge system. The Padres win because of a challenge.
Yeah, it'll happen, and they'll also lose a game or two because of it, and it'll equal out. It's not going to matter.
I'm excited about
it's
the
next year
system.
Though, so we're wasting our time talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. We are wasting our time talking about it. All right, back to the TV thing for MLS, Chris. I have a little bit more information from Carlos.
Oh, as far as the game tomorrow night.
Yeah, being broadcast.
Okay.
Carlos says, if you only have Apple TV, you have access to 6 or 7 MLS season matches per week. But if you want to watch all of them, you need a separate subscription called an MLS season pass. So you try tomorrow night, Chris, going on your Apple TV and trying to watch the game, seeing if you need to purchase another subscription.
So you're thinking that because I have Apple TV, that might be enough.
Yeah, that's what Carlos is
saying. According to Carlos.
Yeah.
If that's true, then I'm cool.
That would be amazing. 6 or 7 games, but there's like 30 games, right? So you would miss out on a bunch of games too. But
I just want to see the San Diego team play. That's
all. They really should, because I've been trying to get the commissioner of MLS on the show, Chris. And I want to ask him, how does it benefit your league to grow by putting it behind a paywall? Because that's a big problem for a lot of people. A lot of people don't just want to go buy MLS season pass just because they want to maybe sort of watch a few games this year.
I can't believe I'm only speaking for myself when I talk about this. There's got to be a lot of people that are in the same boat. I want to remind everybody today, and only today, we're going to give away or announce our biggest fan at about 5:15. So make a note of this. Normally we announce it at 5:30 on this show. However, today's show is over at 5:25. Because we have to throw it to Peoria and the exhibition game between the Padres
a friendly,
and the
everybody's
Mariners.
Crushing you because you didn't know what a friendly is. It's the same thing.
I totally know what a friendly is. What I said is I don't understand it. I know what it is. Don't
why
tell
people
me.
Attended the friendly is what
why
you're
do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I guess people are going to the spring training game.
Why?
We're contradicting ourselves a lot on this show today.
I don't think so. I don't go to spring training games either.
Anyway, 5:15.
Well, for the biggest fan. 5:15. How am I getting crushed because I don't go to friendly? Because I
no,
don't.
No, no, no.
So I don't understand why people flock to friendlies.
They were saying, I guess they misunderstood you. I thought you said you didn't know what a friendly was.
Totally
either.
Know what it is. The match between Manchester United and Wrexham that was here was a friendly. And 35,000 people went out, apparently just to be in the same vicinity as the Manchester United soccer team.
Well, you know, my brother-in-law...
But you're seeing them play a match that meant absolutely nothing to anyone.
My brother-in-law's Irish. He lives in San Francisco. They actually looked into getting tickets down here, but the tickets were $500. And
oh, I understand. Everybody
it's
went.
It's because Manchester United doesn't play here often. And
so
Wrexham
you're telling
is a
me
popular
if,
team.
So you're telling me that if I lived in Florence, Italy...
And the Dolphins came and played, you would go.
I would.
A friendly? If a
game
preseason
that didn't
game,
mean anything?
You would go.
Doubtful.
You would wear your little
Very
dolphin hat.
Very doubtful.
You would wear your dolphin hat, your
Pretty
Tua
doubtful.
Jersey.
Pretty doubtful. I don't care about games that don't mean anything.
Your forest green Tua jersey.
Yeah, that was a bad buy.
it was cheap, at least.
It was cheap, but it was a waste of money. All right, we'll take a break. Coming back, we got some Daily Gambit stuff to tend to. Yes, I want to clear this up. I know exactly what a friendly is. I don't understand why all of you flock to them like it's the end of the world. That's what I don't understand.
You're lumping in a lot of people out there.
Well, a lot of people go to friendlies. 35,000, 34 plus went to the game, Manchester United and Wrexham. I understand Wrexham's on television because of Ryan Reynolds, but really? All right, more Gwen and Chris on the way.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.